It's time for Golf DMV, highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
So it's lights, camera, action here in the Golf DMV studios. We've got multiple cameras here. We've got lights set up. We've got Vern doing his thing. LB, say LB, what's up?
Good afternoon, morning, evening.
Or whatever time people listen yes. to their favorite podcast or yes. radio show in the DMV. Vern's here. Vern, what's up?
What's cracking?
Man, I don't know, man. Golf DMV, listen, I haven't played golf since I shot an 83.
Right.
I just want to throw that out there again. I haven't played since then. It's been working all across the DMV, but you guys have been able to get out. We're going to have a review, obviously, of some of the PGA stuff that's been going on. LB's got some background on Chase Koepka, the man of the hour, it seems like. That we're trying to figure out what's going on.
I was curious, so I looked him up.
Oh, right. So we've got that going on. Also, let's see. We've got a Manny Millions for the Shriners Open. You guys played Waverly Woods, some LPGA stuff. I can't even get my words together.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just jump right in, and we'll start with I want to start with what had seemed to be an emergency. It's like LB sent out an emergency text talking about the state of his game.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You were
just...
perplexed. Yeah, I mean, it was. Didn't know what to do or where to go with it all.
Yeah.
And so you decided to hook up with our guy, Brendan, at Only Golf.
So first of all,
just talk about where the state of your game was before you went to go see Brendan. Like, what caused this emergency that you had?
Well, it kind of goes into the whole show because there's a bunch of stuff that rides along with the state of my game on today's show.
Okay. Okay.
So I don't know if you know in our rundown, there's a thing in there called an apology. I don't know if you saw that in there.
Apology.
There's an apology in there as well.
Oh, LPGA apology.
Apology, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you want to start there?
Oh, let's start with the apology. Yeah. Let's start with the apology.
All right.
And then we can talk about the state of my game. Because that is the reason why I need to apologize to the LPGA.
To the LPGA.
And then I need to apologize to them, and I need to chastise you too.
Well, I'm not sure.
I don't know about that.
I'm not sure if LB's apologized for things before on the show.
I don't know if I've ever had a need to apologize.
This may be a first.
Yeah, all right.
I apologize at home all the time. So I would like to put a formal apology out to the LPGA for last week's podcast when I said, asked me the question, could you qualify? Could you make the cut at a PGA, at an LPGA event?
Well, you were saying things that led me to believe that you thought you could.
Right.
And I thought it was a strange.
They just said,
I mean, it's like, huh, interesting. Because you don't shoot anywhere near scratching. These girls are coming in under par.
Yeah. It's funny how that works.
Yeah. You can make it. Okay.
Yeah. So really, I don't know what I was thinking. I must have just fed into the bit. I'm just going along with the bit. Right. Okay.
Oh, okay. But, there we go.
Right. But yeah, the state of my game is, I couldn't even carry that. I couldn't even be a good caddy.
How did you feel when you listened back to the show? Did you be like, what am I talking about?
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, what were you drinking that night? Don't drink that anymore.
Okay.
So that's my formal apology to the PGA. You ladies do what you do well, and I try and emulate what you do, and I don't come close.
Right. You're really good.
Yes. I suck. Okay. Yeah. So when we played, back to today's show, when we played Waverly Woods last Sunday, and actually goes back to Lake Presidential.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because it was terrible. I had a terrible game there.
Yeah.
And then I had another terrible game at Waverly Woods. Now, in my mind, one of the way
Waverly Woods, by the way, which we will review a little later on in the show.
Yeah, we're coming up on that.
Right.
It all kind of ties in together. Okay. That's why I kept saying it all ties in. One of the things that perplexed me or gave me issues at Waverly Woods was, I don't know if you remember, Vern, but a lot of the fairways, even if you got in the fairways,
uneven.
It was slopes. Yes,
yeah.
It was you never had a flat shot.
Waverly Woods,
right? They named it properly, because the ball was either above your feet or it was below your feet.
Right.
You never had a flat shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I attributed some of my problems to that.
To that,
falsely. Although it did give me problems when I did get in the fairway, when I did hit a good shot, I had one in the middle of the fairway.
Right.
I had 120 yards to the flag, and I hit a 10.
Oh, man.
Because the ball was above my feet. I'm trying to do this. You know, it was just.
It probably started when you arrived at the course.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Well, now to that point, when we were on the driving range.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Where it was flat.
Yeah.
I was killing it.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, so it's going to be a good day.
I fixed everything. Everything's fine.
I was doing what I always do. Mm-hmm. My regular swing, as Brendan told me, as crappy as it was, it was working.
Okay.
Range gangster.
Range gangster.
Also, shout out to Brenda for giving you real advice.
Yeah. Right, I mean, well, he didn't say it that way.
Oh, okay.
But
Brendan. Okay.
Brendan. But okay. When you say, hey, this is what I'm doing.
Right.
So I get there a little bit early. I get a bucket of balls and I start hitting a few just to get warmed up. So when I get to him, you know, I'll do that part. And I hit a few good and I hit a lot bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And actually, at one point, I was concerned because I hit like 5 good ones in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I need to see these slices and hooks and stuff so you have something to fix. I can't come here and hit them straight. Then what am I getting lessons for? Right.
Right. Right.
So then it came back.
Like clockwork.
Right on time. So, So Brendan basically, I do this all the time is I don't, the distance from the ball to my body, to my arms, that whole setup thing, I screwed it up all the time, and I get way too close to the ball.
Right. Okay.
So that was my first problem. So once we got that straight, then we figured out, oh, I'm not turning my hips at all.
Right.
You know, I'm bending my left knee too much. My takeaway is too fast. My arms are cocked up in the top of my swing.
Being real steep coming down.
Right. I mean, it was terrible.
What did
it
you
was
do terrible. Right?
I brought golf clubs to the place.
I'll stand.
Right.
You came dressed.
I came dressed appropriately.
There we go.
Nice. Which is a big deal.
Positive steps. But it took him, so an hour lesson, 50-minute lesson.
Right.
It took him 40 minutes to get me right.
Wow.
I'm serious. It took him a good 40 minutes. But once I got it,
right,
then I got it.
Okay.
You know, so we talked about that. He said it's going to take you probably a good 8 to 12 weeks to get this honed
in. Yeah, which is 500 swings
500, today. 500 to 1,000 swings to get this thing dialed in.
Right.
So when I left, Only Golf Park has the grass, the mats,
right.
Mat tees. Mm-hmm. So when I was leaving him, I was tired because I had hit like 100 balls. So I was like, well, I'm going to go home. Then on the way home, you know, I have to go past Blue Match to go home.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I said, you know what? Nah.
We're getting this in today.
I popped in the leave and got another 70
now again,
balls.
So due to Lake Presidential and Waverly Woods, you just felt like your game was going.
Yeah.
It was just spiraling out of control.
Right.
So then you want to go see Brendan.
It was beyond the self-help mode.
Right. 50 minutes with Brendan. You feel okay.
Yeah.
Things are good. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to Blue Mash.
Then we're going to Blue Mash to work on. So last night I went to Blue Mash and worked on it. Before I came to today's recording, I went to Blue Mash and did another hour and a half of working on it too. So I'm going to do a lot of stuff in the house, a lot of dry swings in the house. Because basically, I was telling Vern today, when Tiger Woods would talk about my glutes aren't firing, I know what he means now.
You were never firing your glutes at all.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I need to fire my glutes.
I was telling her, I always thought that was BS what he was talking about, firing glutes. I'm like, what that got to do? I mean, he making stuff up now. Mm-hmm. But I understand.
Tiger Woods, 14 majors.
That explains a lot.
Don't know what he's talking
about. Well, I just never understood. how your glutes fit into your golf swing.
Right, right.
But now that I know how to swing properly.
Right.
I know how your glutes need to fire.
Right.
So when Brennan fixed this thing, or they said you know how to do it, have you ever swung this way before, ever, in golf, in your golf career?
No.
Or have you always been, like, missing this element?
Yeah, I've never done that. I've never done the glutes. I put in air quotes, the glute firing. I've never done that at all. Even with Paul, even with Brendan before, I don't remember ever doing that. Mm-hmm. What he has me doing now, I don't remember doing that.
Did you tell Brendan that? Like, I don't remember you ever teaching me this.
No, I didn't tell him that, but no, I don't remember that. I don't remember that at all.
So it's good now. So, I mean, because I went to the range with him today. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on this side of town. We went to Blue Mash together. Mm-hmm. And I stupidly wasted all my time just hitting driver. Because just for those who like to hit driver, at Blue Mash, I just realized today that there's a flag all in the back that's like 266. And it's a hill. Mm-hmm. And you can just fly them into the hill.
Yep.
Most of them are way left. But it doesn't matter. But anyway, so while I was out there with him, he said everything felt good. And, you know, you were striking the ball well.
Yeah.
Moving it around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
I feel good. I'm optimistic about playing this Sunday.
So Needwood,
now.
Here okay. we come.
Yeah.
Mark well, this down.
Right. I'm not saying I'm going to go out there and shoot 65.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hopefully it won't be 100.
I wanted you to.
But I still got a lot of work to do. All but right. I know what to do now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the biggest thing, and this happened to me before, even with Paul Wilson, was Paul gave us things to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do this, do this, do that. There's one, two, three, four, five things.
Right.
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 You come home and you do one, two, three, four, five.
Right. Mm-hmm.
2 weeks from now, you do one, two, three.
Yep.
A month from now, you're doing one and two.
Right.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're doing back the same stuff you were doing before you went to take the
lessons.
I
remember the last time I played with you guys, we were out there talking about how, oh, I forgot, you know, when you turn, your knees got to touch knee, you mm-hmm. know, and mm-hmm. just things that Paul drilled in our head right. for two straight days.
Yep. Yeah.
And we're like, oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, I forgot mm-hmm. about this.
That's the biggest thing is to make it so that it becomes your habit.
Right.
It becomes your fallback what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it right now.
Second nature.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Becomes second nature. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's what
muscle memory.
That's right. That's what we got to get to. So I'm saying it here, knock on wood, I'm committed to this.
Okay.
To get this locked down between now
and November.
In November, because I got two golf trips.
I got
the Villages coming up in a couple of weeks, and then after that, I got a golf trip with Reggie, Rodney, and Steve in Orlando, right. And I need to kick some ass, take some names.
There we go.
So
I don't need to be great; just need to be better than these guys.
Exactly. That's right. I just need to beat my friends.
That's right.
So we feel like we got it good. So how was the range at Blue Match? Everything went well. I mean, you said you were hitting driver burn the whole time.
I did hit. I started out with irons, yeah. wedging, and I was doing so well. Ooh. I was just like, let's just hit driver for an hour. When I saw it go to the back of the hill, that's when I was like, I'm gonna keep doing this. Yeah.
So we got an update on LB's game. Where's the state of your game right now?
You know what? So I'm going to work on Garrett's stuff
mm-hmm.
when the season is over. Because when I went to Waverly, so basically anytime I take a lesson, I get in between techniques, essentially.
Okay.
So like whatever I was doing, even if it was wrong, if I had it working, I could, you know, I knew
right.
it would work.
Right.
When he fixed my backswing or whatever, mm-hmm. as he so appropriately did, it sort of, I'm not going to say it messed up some other things, but I have to figure out how to rotate before I can take that out on the course. Mm-hmm. So when I went to Waverly, and I'll just make this my game review for Waverly. So when mm-hmm. I was at Waverly, it was in between, very in between, a lot mm-hmm. of left and right. Usually mm-hmm. I just pull hook it. Now I had two-way miss. So until I figure out how to correctly do,
mm-hmm.
you know, a much more vertical backswing with rotation, I'm just going to keep on hooking. Right. On wrapping.
Paul Wilson would be so disappointed.
He would be very disappointed.
You guys are taking lessons from someone else?
Yeah.
Gave you all you need to know. Yeah. Wasn't it working?
The thing about Paul Wilson's thing. I never, even when we were there, I never.
That's right. You never really
never
felt.
Got it. Down when right. I was there.
Right.
So I didn't leave there with, oh, okay, I felt like I had something I could hang my hat on.
Right.
I was still trying to find my way through that stuff when we came home.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because I never took to it like everybody else did.
Yeah. And for me, he just helped me. He helped expose some other things that I was able to sort of quote unquote fix myself or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, even for me, just rotating out right was producing sort of a fade.
Yeah. Claude,
though, I mean, you were good though.
Like, if you want, just give me the money. Don't even waste my time. Just give me your money.
Yeah.
I did, at least. I gave you the money because I didn't, you know, my game didn't improve.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, Paul Wilson. Yes. We had fun,
nice
though,
guy,
right?
Though. Yeah, nice guy. Oh, yeah. That's a good trip. Yeah.
Helped you out, right?
Yeah, no, he did. I mean, mm-hmm. I from the sheer fact, like I realized that I was using way more arms in my swing than I should have.
Right.
And he's like, mm-hmm. no, man, you got to. Have your back, you know, face the target.
Back to the target.
And,
you know,
and I never really understood how to start my downswing with my legs.
With your lower body.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And mm-hmm. then once he showed me that, I was able to get more distance with my irons.
Right.
And, you know, so yeah, right. I mean.
You shoot 83 and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, now I'm shooting in the 80s, in the low 80s. So, I mean, and oddly enough, so, you know, yeah, I know that trademark for me, like a par 3 150, 160 would be that 7 fairway
right,
wood.
Fairway
I
wood,
never
yeah.
use it anymore because it's too, you know,
it's
I hit it too long.
Right,
you know,
right.
So,
it's a good problem
so
to have.
Yeah, so he's helped me out there. I'm still not driving the ball particularly long, mm-hmm. but again, to LB's point, how much time do I spend working mm-hmm. on the stuff that he showed
That's
me?
True. Mm-hmm.
Not much. And if I think about it, even down to the grip and the backswing, out of those five things, I'm probably only doing two or three
right.
at a time. You know what I mean? And so it's like, no, you got to work to implement all mm-hmm. five of those things.
Yeah, the one thing Paul did, the takeaway for me, I still use his takeaway. because I wasn't doing that before.
Okay.
But I
that and, Brent, I and Brendan didn't fix that. He thought that was fine.
That was fine.
Right.
So he kept that.
Credit Paul.
Right.
Did you tell Brendan we went to go see Paul Wilson?
Oh yeah, I told him.
Oh, what
told.
Did he say?
He didn't say that clown or oh, why y'all go to that clown? No, he didn't say. He just like, oh, okay.
Cool.
He
didn't, cool story.
He had just played PB Dye that morning.
Oh,
So we did talk about PB Dye.
What did he think
condition.
About it?
He said that was in good condition.
Right.
So he's under the impression that PB Dye, Worthington, Blue Mash, and Waverly are all under the same ownership, or at least in some kind of consortium or whatever. Like you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Maybe that's something new. Is it part of that whole Raspberry Trails golf thing? Because I'm sure.
I've seen that. I saw that in one of the clubhouses, but I don't think those four, all four were on it.
Yeah.
Right.
I know Blue Mash and Waverly Woods was on it.
Yeah, Blue Mash and Waverly are owned by the same
person, right?
Joe Hills, yeah. And by the way, I emailed him letting you guys know you guys were going to be out there. He's like, cool, the course is in great shape. I was hoping he'd comp it, but he's like, oh, yeah, enjoy. It's in great shape.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, give me that $90.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was. 80, it was 80 something.
It was 80 something.
80 something bucks, yeah.
So Waverly Woods, let's talk about it. For those who may not know where it is, where is it?
It's off of 40.
We played it before.
Off of 40. Okay.
Was it last year?
You take 40 off of 70.
Oh, okay.
And then it's off of.
Was it last year that we did the Father's Day thing?
The year before last. It may be last year, year before last. Because Sherman went with us then.
Last year.
Sherman and who else?
Was I there?
Yeah, I think you go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I was there. Yeah, he was the tee boxes.
Because we did it.
Yeah, I remember.
We did a 2-day thing. I think it was Tempest of Troy was the first day.
May have been.
Okay. And then Waverly was the second.
Oh, yeah.
Right, we played Father's Day and Saturday.
Oh, yeah, it's coming back now.
Yeah, it was Friday and Saturday. I mean, Saturday and Sunday.
So Waverly, I liked it last time. So, yeah, give us a review of it.
It was in good shape.
Yes.
And we've only played it twice now, I think, and both times it's been in good shape.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, the only thing I don't like about it is everything is at an angle.
Yeah.
There's very few fairways that you can find that's going to be flat.
A lot of blind shots, too.
You had to hit over ravines.
It's pretty narrow, too, right?
Medium.
Average.
If you can hit it straight, it's fine. If you can't hit it straight, then I'm just saying, because I hit mine.
If you can make an LPGA cut, then you can play Waverly Woods, obviously.
Then you could probably play the course. But yeah, I had a terrible, even when I got in the fairway, which was rare, then I screwed that shot out because it was below my feet or up a hill or down a hill.
The flash came out at some point.
Oh, early.
You're playing and your game's just off. As happy as we are just to get out, spend time with some folks and play golf, it's just not the same when you're not hitting well.
Well, to add to that point, the spending time with some folks. God bless you, Rick. But if LB starts off just a little bit bad, then the normal Rickisms that are going to add up and maybe annoy him a little bit. Start really early. Like on the first hole, we came out hot.
So everybody knows our buddy Rick McCormick, right? And everybody's got a friend
got
in your group.
Rick or Charles in the group.
Yeah, Charles from Virginia Contingency. You know what I mean? Just a funny dude.
Funny's the right word.
They do something every round that makes you laugh a little bit.
The interaction between him and LB, like Rick rolling up to the tee late, we're already all there. And then asking, you know, details about the hole. Oh, does it slope left or right? Like, we want you to just hit the ball. Just get to the tee box, hit the ball. You can see the flag. The green's fast?
Right.
So LB is just like gritting his teeth.
We are at the starter. And Rick pulls up.
Okay. Yeah. So he was coming in hot.
Oh, yeah. He wasn't hot. He was late.
Yeah. Okay.
He was late.
Yeah. Okay. And you know what? As somebody who's been late a lot, that's okay. You know what? You speed there. You throw the money in the jump. Come to the jump. Knock one off. Right. And you go.
Right.
He has no self-awareness. So he's late.
Not at all.
Tee in the thing. I'm taking shoulder swings. Right. So what do you guys think?
He's messing around in the car. He's like looking at his clubs.
Eating sandwiches.
You're late. Hit a ball so we can go.
So we can get going,
We're going to report on you this Sunday too at Neewood, Rick. Please be on time. Be ready to go.
The one thing Rick does, though, that makes me chuckle sometimes is when we're finished with a hole, he takes rather long to put his club back in the bag and he's wiping it down.
He got to wipe it. He got to clean it.
Him and Charles. You put the two of them in the car. Human rain delay.
No, now Charles, I don't know if you've seen Charles do this. Charles, I've never in my life seen nobody do this but Charles. Charles has a bottle of Windex.
Yeah. No, yes, he doesn't.
He does.
Yeah, he carries it with him.
He sprays his full bottle of Windex.
Blue Windex.
Not water. Right, not water. And it's not no off brand. It's Windex brand.
Yeah.
And he has to have Windex brand. You can't get him no dollar store cleaner, window cleaner. It's got to be Windex.
Everybody's got buddies like this. We need to hear your stories.
Every shot when he comes back to the cart, and he cleans off his club and puts it away.
Golf DMV podcast
clubs, but come on, man.
GolfDMVpodcast@gmail.com. We want to hear these stories of your buddies that are just like Rick McCormick or Charles. What's Charles' last name? I don't know.
Coclo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yep.
So Rick gets there. You know, LB's already.
Well, yeah, because Bert and I was taking bets. We said we was on a range.
Yeah,
and we said, well, is he going to be early?
I did an over under. I said because I think their tee time is maybe 7:40 or something. I was like, you know, over under 7:30. Mm-hmm. And LB was kind. He said, I think he'll get here like 7:28 or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Just in time.
Not close.
Yeah. We was at the starter. Yeah. Vernon and Glenn was already at the.
Yeah, we had teed off.
They had already teed off I'm still waiting on Rick. So I take the cart, running, you know, ride it back into the parking lot, get his clubs. He's like, what's going on? I'm like, dude, put your shoes on, man. You know? So he puts his bag in the cart.
Extending pleasantries.
And then he doesn't even have his clubs in the cart. So he got half the clubs in the back of the car.
Oh,
so he just, and he doesn't put them in the bag. He just stuffs them into the basket in the back. So now I got clubs sticking out the back of the cart as I go to, I was like, go pay, man. Yeah. So I go to start. He's like, whichever guy. It's like, he's paying. He's like, okay. So I just go on up to the tee box and make him walk up there, you know.
Right.
Which took
forever, right. You know what I mean? Then he got tied. Shoes ain't tied.
Yeah, it's just everything takes so long.
And he's asking questions along the way. What hole is this? What number is it? How long is it? Which way is it? Going that way? That's the flag over there, right? Come on. Hit the ball, dude.
Oh, man. Yeah. And so it's Kneewood for you guys this weekend. Can't wait to hear.
Yeah.
I'm
looking forward to it.
Got an 18.
So let's grade Waverly. You said it's in good condition.
Yeah.
Now, again, owned by the same ownership, the same owner of Blue Mash. Customer service is similar, the same, or?
I only had one interaction with the starter and the guy at the desk. They were fine.
They were pleasant.
Like most clubs should, you get a small bucket, warmer bucket part of your feet.
Oh yeah, he hooked you up.
And I said, I'm gonna need a bucket. And he said, oh, well, it comes with a bucket. I said, I'm gonna need more balls than that. So he said, well, here, you can take the next one size up.
No problem.
So it was cool. So service was fine.
Condition
was good. Yeah, my only complaint is my game and the uneven fairways, everything was just at a slope.
Right.
I really find that annoying. You know what I mean? If you're a good player and you can handle that stuff,
that shouldn't bother you.
That's fine. Right. But it throws me off. It really
greens in great shape.
Yeah, greens were really good.
I give it an
greens
A club. Yeah.
And look, again, courses, I get it. Different grass, different climate, whatever, but you know, there are courses in the DMV who in October still look fine. They're not brown. Yeah. So,
I'm trying to keep up for the superintendents out here. If you're a superintendent, you want to come out here and defend yourself, I got your back. I know it's difficult.
Exactly. So, grades for Waverly.
Yeah, it's fine. It was a B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go play. If you're in the area, go play.
So if you're in the area, definitely go play.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. If you have someone coming from out of town, would you take them to Waverly?
Depending on that game.
Right. Because, see, that was my thing.
Yeah.
I feel like remembering what it was like when we played there last year on the Father's Day weekend, the thing I thought was, man, if somebody thinks that they can play, I'd like to see them play this course.
Yes.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Because you've got to play every shot. I mean, that sounds like a cliche.
It's a shot, but it is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially like LB said, I mean, every fairway's got a slope, and so you've got to know how to hit the ball with it above your feet, below your feet.
It's target golf, where instead of just like blindly looking at the 150, you're just like, okay, no, I need to be here, you know, right. You know, 150 yards left or whatever.
I forget which hole it was, but I remember it. So it comes out straight, it slopes, and then it like kind of dog legs right a little bit.
That's number two or something. It's early.
I remember hitting the drive and hitting my classic shank left,
right,
and the ball being at the bottom of the fairway, right.
That's how much it slowed. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yep, that's the one.
Crazy. Yep. Yeah, I knew for sure the ball was lost, and I'm looking for it, and I see a ball sitting all the way down there. I'm like, wait a minute, what's that?
Yep. Yeah, I hit my tee shot in the left into the tall grass. We couldn't find it, and then my drop shot I hit to the right in the tall grass. Couldn't find that one.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Low key a challenge. Hey, shout out to Glenn though. He shot, I think, a personal best. Did I think 103.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He did. He did better progress on the back coming in. Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty quick too in his golf career, right?
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Already taken two lessons.
Yeah.
Cool. I better stay on my game.
Yeah, catch up, be beating all of us.
By the way, shout out to Glenn. Guy got to get back out playing golf with the homie. He said,
"Yeah, he asked about you. He asked about
that story real quick." So, I've been swamped with work, and so and I haven't been able to play. But go
work and going with to the fancy football games to watch for entertainment and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
I'm messing. No, so
and then the football season kind of cramped. I'm doing stuff with the Redskins radio network, doing. But anyway,
right. Hey, shout out Nats too, my man. Last
night,
yeah, who's
absolutely Howie Kendrick.
Yes. I knew what it was. I was saying
grand slam, top of the 10th.
Yeah, so real quick, Glenn texted me about the 2-4 man group we have going out for Needwood. On Sunday. He was like, "Who's playing?" So I sent him a list of the names. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Damn, Claude don't rock with y'all no more." I was like, "Yeah, he do." I said, "He's busy, man. He going to a football game."
Glenn, I'm coming out there, man. Okay, so cool. So coming up shortly, we're going to have we'll do our whole PGA thing. Mm-hmm. Corn Ferry Tour. By the way, we did receive emails. Folks are really appreciative, LD, mm-hmm. if you mentioned the Corn Ferry Tour. So thank you so much, you know, for doing that. I aim to
please.
Exactly. So let's see. Real quick, you did the LPGA apology. Mm-hmm. And so.
Well, there's a little bit more about I want to say about the LPGA. This should be pretty quick.
Cool. All right, what do we got?
So I was looking at they do the top 100 to keep their cards for the next season.
Okay.
So I went through the names to see if any names I knew that looked familiar, who didn't make it, that kind of stuff.
Lydia Ko.
She was high up there.
Okay. Yeah. She did have a bad year though.
But these are the two names. I wrote down two names.
And a swing and a coach, yeah.
Right. So at number 100, just got in by the skin of her teeth, basically. Right. Is your Miss Stackhouse? She's number 100.
Okay.
She made it in to keep her card.
That's
right. So for the season, this is her grand total of earnings for the season. Mm-hmm. Ready? $127,000.
Oh man. Okay.
Wow. That's tough. Right. That's tough to be on tour with that.
Right. No. Okay. If you think that's rough, Miss Cheyenne Woods.
She didn't make
she's
it.
She did not make it.
Yeah. She was at
149th. Her grand total for the season was $23,648.
No, it wasn't. Wow. She ain't making money playing golf. No,
That's how much money she made.
WNBA.
Right. Shit. We need to start a GoFundMe for the sisters.
So she's going to have to go back to Q school to get her pro card again.
Oh, man.
Okay. Hope she gets it.
I was wondering how they did there. So just a little bit of information there.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about number one?
Oh, I don't even remember. I didn't write that down.
Cool.
Yeah.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up on the other side of the top of the hour news, if you're listening on 1500 AM, we're going to do our PGA breakdown. We're going to find out who Chase Koepka is. And Vern has an interesting question. Who's your dream foursome? Not for the golf course, but three other golfers who you take into a street fight in an alley.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll have all that coming up on Golf DMV. Stay close.
This is Golf DMV.
Hi, this is LB from Golf DMV. Have you thought about advertising your business? Well, consider us as your cost-effective advertising solution. We offer a variety of options and terms to meet your needs. Contact us at golfdmvpodcast.com for more information.
Welcome back to Golf DMV. Again, you can find us at golfdmvpodcast.com. That's the website. You can see the shirts now, and you can order some of them.
It only took y'all 4 months to do that. All right.
So you can get that there. Also, nice photo gallery of just some rounds and courses we played.
Right. We got new pictures up?
Mm-mm. No. We don't have any new pictures up. Right. I don't have any.
Right, so we're going to scratch this part.
Never mind. <Yep. laughs>
But anyway, golfdmvpodcast.com. You can go there for all things Golf DMV. Let's jump back in. LB, before we get into the PGA stuff, you were talking about something interesting that you have been tracking the amount of rounds you've played and how much money you've spent.
Just this season, right?
Just this season.
Okay. I need to do that because I haven't tracked.
Okay. So, yeah, I've been keeping track. I started, January. When I was in Florida.
Okay.
To date, I've played 41 rounds of golf. And to date, I have spent $2,100 in green fees.
Okay.
Okay.
41 rounds. That's pretty good. It's almost one a week. Yep.
Yeah. Almost something like that. Yeah.
Close to it.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
That price isn't bad either.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Well, yeah, okay.
Did you include the lessons with Paul Wilson?
No.
So then you spend $8,000.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's $3,000 yeah. now. I did not count the lessons, but I did count the rounds.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Good. Yeah, mm-hmm. I need to track down the lessons, see how much golf
yeah.
I'm playing.
Yeah, I've been keeping track because I write off my taxes too, so
right.
Well, I like to keep track.
You should.
Yeah, everyone should.
Yeah, you know, you do business out there, you have a golf show, mm-hmm. so you need somebody to talk about.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
Go ahead. You...
No, you're good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Houston Open, let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about
that. For some reason, you put in the rundown, Houston Open, Houston Open, ?
Yeah. So the reason Houston I open? Said, the reason I, right, exactly. So the Houston Open is, it has no zing, no pop. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nobody.
Nobody playing?
Nope. These are the names. These are the big names.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna give you four of the big names.
Marquee.
That are playing in the Houston Open.
Here's what you're paying your money for.
Right. All right. Ready? Okay. Here we go. Keegan Bradley.
Okay.
Keegan.
Where's
right.
Jordan?
The last. Jason Duffner.
Mm-hmm.
Duffner. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And he hasn't won in what? About 3 years now.
Yeah,
three, four years.
Wow. Yeah. Eeyore.
Ben Crane.
Oof.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah.
If that's the number three name, I want to see who's number four.
1998. Right.
And I will, this guy recently won, Mr. Cameron Champ.
Oh, okay. He's playing in it. All right, Killer Cam. All right,
yeah.
I'm with that.
So, you got what's that, Hostler? What's his name?
Bo Hostler.
Yeah. He's in it. Okay. So, I mean, but I tried to watch some of it, I tried to watch some of it today.
Right.
And it was just a
bunch of randoms. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, people I never heard of were playing. Even in the golf, the afternoon was windy too. So the conditions were a little rough.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they weren't doing any scoring either. Have you noticed that I don't know if it's on again because I watched the European feed.
Right.
David Duvall is now like commentating a lot more. I've noticed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's giving up.
Well, he ought to. He ought to not play golf because God knows he should not be playing golf.
Struggle bus.
Right. I don't know how I feel about him as a commentator. For one,
tell me about David Duvall.
Yeah. He. You know. After he. What did he shoot, like 83 or something way back when?
In the Masters.
It was the British Open or something like that.
One of the majors, yeah.
I'm like, dude, come on, man. Just don't
Time
even,
to give it up.
Yeah, don't do that no more.
Yeah.
So he's been he was one of the commentators. And Butch Harmon was, they had him in the booth today for a long stretch today. What I find interesting about him is, so they're doing this big, the course that they're playing on is actually like in downtown Houston.
Okay.
It used to be a municipal course that they redone to make it a PGA caliber type course.
I like it.
It's got double decker, driving range. It's got all this stuff. Okay. You know?
And the public can hit it.
And the public, yeah.
I love that.
Right. And so it's good and it's bad. Well, it's good. The what I found interesting about it was, Butch Harmon talked about it.
Right.
No matter what he talked about on this course, to him, it all came back to how much money he could make if it was his.
Really?
Yeah, because he was like, oh, he said, if anything, I would love to own that driving range. He said, 83 bays and they serve beer. You know how much money that is?
Listen, I'm not
revenue
teaching.
Is king.
He said, I'm not teaching no more. And I'm in a different stage in my life. I need that guap. Who wants some liquor?
Yeah, but everything he talked about today, it all came back to how much money it would generate, you know. So, but the court, the tournament itself,
nothing to report.
Nothing to report. No, I mean, I won't even turn it back
Ben
on anymore
Crane.
This weekend. Right? You know what I mean? Woo. Come on, man. It was a bunch of nobody. I mean, they're professional golfers. Mm-hmm. So I shouldn't call them nobodies.
No, I know. No, but not marquee guys.
Right?
Could you make that
record.
Cut?
Well, that depends on my lessons.
Got to take Brendan there to caddy for you. But something that was, I guess, worth watching was the Shriners Hospital for Children.
Yes, I did watch that. Did you see the end of that when they went to the playoff?
I saw a bunch of text messages.
Yeah.
It got really interesting toward the end.
Yeah, because they both kind of sort of fell apart a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah. So Cantley was like one or two shots behind him the entire day.
Yep.
He actually got like three shots behind him. But on the 17th hole, 18th, on the 16th hole, he finally caught him because Nah hit his, he like shank hooked it or something, sliced it over into the left rough.
Right.
And Cantley got up and got in. And so he took a one shot lead.
He gained a stroke. Okay.
He got a one shot lead. Okay. Right. So they go up to the 17th hole. It's a par three.
Okay.
Is it par three? Yes, it was a par three. With water to the left. and the pin is cut to the front and to the left.
Okay.
Right?
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. Don't go at it.
Right.
So the announcers are saying, oh, yeah, he should just go up there, hit one in the middle of the green, two putt, and get out of there, call it, and be done with it.
Yeah.
No, not Cantley. He goes for the flag.
Yep.
And it hits like a few feet short of the green.
Oh, no.
And it's, but the green is sloped toward the water, obviously.
Of course, of course.
Of course. And his ball goes in the water.
Straight in the water. Mm-hmm.
And the announcers are like, what was he thinking?
We told him. We predicted this would happen.
Right. All right. Yeah, so let's. Just real quick, let's calm down, announcers, because he landed that thing on the green and spins back to the hole. Oh, beautiful shot.
Right,
and
beautiful
I've always shot. Known exactly. Sterling had iron played it. Slow down.
Well, they said the same thing with Cantley. With Cameron on the tournament before.
Right.
When he hit, they was like, oh, he should just hit three wood, just get in the middle of the fairway.
Yeah.
And he pulled out driver and smashed it 360 in the middle of the fairway. And after, they was like, that was a great shot.
Yeah.
That was a great shot.
That's right, Claude.
If you're going to go big, quick. You got it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But yeah, but so when it got to the playoff with Nah and Cantley, the first hole they both parred, or birdie, whatever it was, they both did mm-hmm, it. Mm-hmm. So they had to go back and play it again.
Right.
They both got back, they played the same hole, they played 18 twice. And then Nah hit his closer to the pin on the second try.
Right.
And Cantley was about, he had like a 20 footer maybe. And he just missed it. He just missed it. And
do you guys like the way they do the playoffs? Like one hole, or do you think it should be three or two? Like,
no, I like one hole. I just
sudden
like
death.
Yeah, just one hole. Whoever, you know,
basically whoever blinks first.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like
exactly.
That. Yeah.
So yeah, it was good. It was interesting. But Nah, I know they have that. He made that T-shirt with "Walk It In" or whatever that is.
Yeah.
But he was putting his ass off that day. He has a record now. For the most, I wrote it down here, 558 feet, 11 inches of putts.
Oh, wow.
That's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he gained on the
not exactly what I do when I'm out there.
Listen, at the rate, it, like good. I'd have not, to have like probably 6-inch putts, so it would take me like 1,000 years to get that.
Crazy.
Yeah, he gained 14 shots on the field just in putting alone. Mm,
that's outstanding. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it didn't matter. He was dropping them. He was just dropping bombs everywhere.
Right.
So yeah, that was the biggest part of that. People who missed cuts for that tournament. Bubba Watson missed it. Mm. Zach Johnson missed it. Brooks Koepka missed it.
Oh.
And Cameron Champ missed it. After winning last week, week before, I guess 2 weeks now ago now, he missed the cut at the Shriners as well.
Again, it's hard to win on tour. Yeah, it's hard to be consistently.
Round to round, week to week, man.
Now, that's what makes that streak. What was Tiger's streak of cuts made? That's what makes that so remarkable.
Yeah, it was long.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, Claude's going to look that up.
It was a long
streak. Yeah.
So Brooks' brother, Chase, did make the cut, and he won. He finished at -6. He won $19,000.
Okay.
So if you're like me, I didn't know Champ. I didn't know Brooks had a brother named Chase, or brother at all, and that he was a golfer.
He doesn't talk about him much.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't do no winning. So.
Right.
Yeah, so Chase is 25 years old. He's 5'9", 155 pounds. He went to University of South Florida.
He's not exactly
Florida.
Built the way Brooks
is.
Yeah,
he's slim, yeah.
No. Yeah, 5'9", 155.
Might have to revise my list.
I'm bigger than him. Woo,
yeah, I'm about to take him off the list.
I'm not bigger than a lot of people, but I'm bigger than him.
What list are you talking about, Brown? Coming up later. Sorry.
So he went to University of South Florida from 2012 to 16.
Okay.
So I'm trying to find a little bit about him. He went to South Florida. He turned pro in the middle of 2016, and he plays on the Challenge Tour, which I don't know what that is.
It's a challenge. I'm sorry. That was so bad.
That was too easy, right?
Yeah.
But apparently he's been playing a lot on the European Tour. Let's see. He finished in top 10s on 5 occasions, including being a runner-up at the Italian Challenge and the – wow. Jeez. Is that a bear with me. KAZAKHSTAN.
Kazakhstan
Open.
Yeah, the Italian sound sounds like a hoagie eating contest. I'm tired today.
Yeah. Brooks Koepka, by the way, 6 feet 205.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he said 155. I'm a buck 50. Yeah. I'm 5'7", bro. Okay. Right. Yeah, you chase off the list. We ain't rumbling. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, so, and he also did play, he played with Brooks at the Zurich Classic in New Orleans in 2017. And they finished tied for fifth. That's the course I wanted to play when I was in New Orleans, but it rained all weekend.
Oh, I remember you told me about that.
Yeah, yeah, that pissed me off. So that's the gist of him. He's been playing on a European tour. That's why we don't know anything about him.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you got some Manny Millions for the
Shriners. Yeah. So the Manny Millions, another guy I never heard of, and he's so obscure that I couldn't even find information on him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, he's not even in Wikipedia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's bad. But you're not even in Wikipedia. His name is Isaiah Salinda. He finished plus four. He was born in San Francisco. Yeah, no idea.
Yeah.
I think he's a recent graduate. That's why
young guy.
Yeah, this is his first year on the tour.
Okay.
He won $13,650.
That's almost half of what Cheyenne Woods made, right?
No, all year.
For the year.
He made that in one tournament, finishing dead last.
Finishing last. It's a damn shame. It's a damn shame.
We want to start that GoFundMe for the sisters out there playing on this LPGA tour.
They need to sponsor us or something. He's 22 years old. He's a recent Stanford grad. He did play in the U.S. Walker Cup team this season, and they won. He has a long list of accomplishments, you know, tournament here, tournament there, that kind of stuff. Okay. But yeah, so he's officially a pro now. So maybe we'll see more of him. He had a pretty good list of accomplishments, you know, tournaments and things that
right,
he had
won. Amateur or whatever.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. So he played on the Stanford team. So yeah, I couldn't find. He's only 22, so he ain't done much. So you don't have.
Yeah,
he's no married. He's not married. Obviously, he ain't got no kids. Right. You know, he hasn't done anything really. Noteworthy yet.
Okay. There you have it. Let's jump to the Corn Ferry Rookie of the Year, LB. LB, by the way, getting a lot of props from people. Happy that he's paying attention to the Corn Ferry Tour. A tour that I wasn't familiar with up until 3 months ago when he started mentioning
it. Yeah, me either.
Yeah, a tour that I feel like I'm not familiar with right now that you have mentioned in my presence. So let's learn together.
There you go. So this year's Rookie of the Year, Tour Player of the Year, the Corn Ferry Player of the Year, is Scottie Scheffler. So they do the same thing. They voted in by the peers like the PGA does for their Player of the Year. They do the same thing. Let's see. He's a Dallas native. He received the Jack Nicklaus Trophy for winning the Corn Ferry Tour Player of the Year. He bested three other nominees, Bobby Shelton, Christopher Ventura, and the Asian guy, Jing Jung Zhang. I believe that's how.
How do you know he's Asian?
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Boom.
His name could be Laquan Jing.
Yeah, so he's 23. He won twice on the Corn Ferry Tour this year. He earned the top spot in both the season-long and the Corn Ferry Tour finals point list. Sorry. Let's see. So he, by doing this now, he's fully exempt status for the PGA Tour for the 2019-20 season.
Okay.
As well as an exemption for the 2020 Players Championship.
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Which is the tournament that we will be at in Sawgrass March.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Yep. So, not much else to say. Oh, I'm going to give you this a little bit. Let's see. This season, he won $565,000 in earnings, the third most single season earnings in tour history.
That's not bad. Wait a minute.
So $500,000, basically. Yeah.
Wow.
On the Corn Ferry Tour.
So, you know, so if you finish dead last in the PGA after making a cut in every tournament, which nobody plays every tournament, but you'd make over $600,000.
I think it was like $680 or something like that.
But if you're killing it on the Corn Ferry Tour, you're making almost the same thing. Money, but you got to be killing it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He
amassed 10 top 10 finishes and added a second victory in Nationwide Children's Hospital Championship, the first of three events in the season-ending Corn Ferry Finals. So, yeah, they also had a little video that I watched about him. Seemed like a decent guy. But you know,
don't sound convinced.
Yeah.
No, well, so they had this guy ride around in the cart with him, and he was asking 100 questions, basically.
Right.
And they were off the ball questions like, you know, are you a fast driver, you're a slow driver? You know what I mean? It's this, just basic life type questions.
Personality type questions.
Right. What's your favorite food? Mm-hmm. You know, if you had to cook a meal, what would you cook? That kind of stuff.
Right.
And then at one point he said something about, they asked him something, and he said something about going to Bible study. And then I tuned out after that.
So you didn't want to hear anything after that.
Yeah, I'm like, okay,
Squaresville.
He lost me. You're going to fit in with Bubba and those guys real well.
Oh, so. Man. So, yeah, when we do the Golf DMV golf trips, he gets my package. He gets to hang with me.
Right.
Funny. Speaking of off-the-wall questions, you know, we do these things when we're interviewing people, you know, you dream for some four folks who you'd want to play, you know, a round of golf with.
Right.
But Vern has a different spin on this.
Yes.
And for that off-the-wall question, we'll go to Vern now.
Yeah, yeah, no. So I was just wondering aloud to LB this weekend. It's like, well, you know who you want to play golf with, but say you're out there on the course and
Have we all talked about that, who you'd want to play golf with?
I don't think we've done our foursome. No.
Okay.
No. Put a pin in that.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. So for this one, though, I was thinking, yeah, we know you want to play golf with, but you know, what if you're out there on the course, somebody's hitting into you, they're being jerks.
Yeah, like Glenn was having problems
up at Glenn all the time in Baltimore
Forest
City.
Park, right? Yeah, exactly. You're playing one of these city courses,
and he's probably never going to Forest Park again.
No, he's not. I hope he's not. And turns out you realize, you know what? We're going to see one of these guys on the tee box. You and your three guys are going to have to go see these golfers. You have to get into a little bit of a tussle. Mm-hmm. What four pros do you want to take into a golf fight with you? Now I'm gonna lead off. Uh-huh. Easy number one, Brooks. Easy number two, Dustin Johnson.
Okay.
I had filled it out with Chase earlier just because he was a Koepka. But he's slim with a tilted brim. He might be wily, but I can't rock with him. So I'm gonna sub him out and I'm gonna go JD. I'm gonna go Jason Day.
Okay.
For my third. Maybe in his prime it would have been John Daly, mm-hmm. but like right now he wouldn't do too well. Glenn made a good point though. He said John Daly might have had a pistol on him.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure he keep it 38 close by.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so who would you want to get into the Rumble with?
So, number one, I've got to take Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have
Brooks. Yeah, he's a first-round draft pick.
I think I'd put Gary Woodland, you know.
Mm-hmm. Another big guy.
Yeah, yeah, because he's a big guy. He's got, you know what I mean? And, that third.
No, Rory? You want to put Rory in there?
No, I don't
see Rory as a fighter.
Yeah, it was a joke submission.
So, let's see. You know what? Because he's such a jerk.
Right.
And he doesn't have many friends. He's probably had to fight a lot. Patrick Reed. I'd probably roll with Patrick Reed, to be honest with you. That would be my four. The problem is Brooks would probably fight him before we get to
He'd fight his own people.
He would do something to disrupt the group dynamic.
He would turn it into a WWE Royal Rumble and then everybody's just fighting each other. And that's exactly what
run away or like leave y'all hanging.
That's what Patrick would do.
That's what he would do.
He'd be the one talking trash to the group behind and say, hey, fellas, we're going to, you know, let's get ready. We're going to wreck these dudes.
Turn up.
And then we're sitting there, and then Patrick Reed would walk off, and then we're sitting there, have to fight his guy.
He had a car going back to the. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want that smoke.
No.
LB? All right. So I'm trying to put together my squad here, too. So I'm gonna take Brooks just because you got to take Brooks.
First round draft.
You got to take
he's
Brooks.
He's LeBron in this scenario.
If nothing else, he's going to talk some smack.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You got the sides to back
it up. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I would think DJ, too, just because DJ is tall. DJ's 6'5".
He's tall, but also what I told you at the course, DJ's past.
Yeah.
He was doing a lot of stuff.
He's in the wrong house at the wrong time. Somebody shows up, he's got to get into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He did have a thing with somebody else's wife at one point, didn't he? I tried not
to be as direct.
And you say one a person's, it's multiple from what I understand.
Right. So he's turning up.
So he got to be the fight because you can be messing with other people, women.
Right.
So you got to be the fight.
Yeah.
My other guy, you probably didn't think, well, I'm going to give him, I don't know if this is a good pick.
Okay.
But I'm just, on just general principle, right. I'm going to assume that he can fight a little bit.
Who's this?
It's the other black guy, Mr. Harold Varner.
Oh.
I'm assuming he can fight a little
Varner
bit.
Harold Varner the third.
He can fight. I'm assuming he can fight a little bit.
Yeah.
I think if you're a black guy, he went to school in North Carolina, I believe. I think he went to ECU or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he had to fight a couple times on the course. People called him names and stuff like that. I'm sure he had to get a little bit of something going on.
Not a bad selection.
Okay. I'm assuming he can fight. Right. I mean, you know. Just because you're black don't mean you can fight. But,
Or play basketball. Yeah. Or play basketball. Like watermelon. Yeah. And, come on, LB.
But I do like watermelon.
It is good.
Me too. I like fried chicken as well. As a matter of fact, I think tonight I'm warming up fried chicken.
And low key too, if I could pick somebody, I just thought about it. If I know somebody, if I could pick somebody alive or dead, one guy who would be in my group. Earl Woods.
These are the kind of things we talk about. By the way, Tiger Woods did set that all-time PGA Tour record for most consecutive cuts made with 142.
Ooh, man.
He made 142 consecutive cuts.
Right. We can't get guys to make them back-to-back.
Right. After winning a championship.
Yeah, yeah. A major at that.
Wow. That's incredible, by the way, he's also the only player to have won all four professional major championships in a row.
Yes.
Wow. The Tiger Slam.
Yep. Wow.
Yep. He didn't win them all in a calendar year,
but he won them all in a row. Yeah.
At the complete opposite of the clutch spectrum, our boy Clayton Kershaw. God bless you, Clayton.
Oh, my goodness.
The vision of Clayton Kershaw sitting in the dugout all by himself with his head in his hands.
Yeah. I felt bad for him.
I was like, cut away, man.
Yeah. I felt bad for him. I'm glad the Nats won, obviously.
Yeah.
But I did feel bad. I hate to see somebody, you know.
Take his shoelaces.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. No, I'm happy for the Nats. And it was the story of the offseason, the story of the season, and it's still the story of the postseason.
Right.
They're doing this and they're doing their thing without Bryce Harper. They made the right move.
Yep.
Yeah.
They made the right move. They're a better team without him.
Yeah.
They're a better team without him.
Yeah. And the question is, what are they going to do about Rendon?
They got to sign Rendon.
Yeah,
pay
that money.
Yeah, got to sign
And Victor Robles and Juan Soto, they're so young.
Yeah.
These dudes are young. They're going to be around for a while. They made the right move.
Yeah. Bryce, what's the name? Is 20?
Yeah.
So,
Juan Soto, I think he's still 20.
You know, and I feel great for Ryan Zimmerman, too, for hanging in there
all these years.
And he was clutch. Yeah, and he was clutch. Was it game three or game four?
Game four.
Yeah. He was clutch.
So,
I mean, the Nats have a chance. I mean, I don't know what's going on with the WNBA. I think the Mystics got a chance to win.
Yeah, we're recording it as we're recording.
I think the game is on. So
yeah,
go
yeah,
Mystics.
Yeah, we're wishing the best for them. Did you all see the story about Bryson DeChambeau?
What he do now?
Oh well, no. Well, he's gonna look differently the next time you see him. In a few months. No, he's going in the gym. He's trying to
Brooks up.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
So as the Brooks disrespected him to his face, like, he feels some kind of way now.
I need to get strong in case he steps to me again. Get out of here.
But not Brooks, but DeChambeau being who he is, they interviewed him and he was talking about how he's got this trainer and they're not going to use just weights, of course.
Oh, my God. Right.
They're going to do some scientific nonsense and he's going to do this, they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, with some weights as well and changes eating. But yeah, he's going to look like a different guy so he can hit the ball further. That's one of his things he wants to be able to do.
He wants to be like Brooks.
Yeah.
Brooks don't jump.
He says bigger, way stronger, just stronger in general. I'm going to look probably a lot bigger, but it's going to be a fun month and a half. I've never been able to do this, and I'm going to do things that are going to be a lot of fun.
Hey, Bryce,
doesn't that sound weird though?
Bryce DeChambeau, hey bro, be yourself, bro.
It's okay to be yourself. I'm going to look a lot different. I'm going to look bigger, much bigger. I'm going to look so much different.
That's literally something I might have said
in sixth grade in the summer going to the seventh grade. I'm going to work out. I'm going to be bigger coming back to school.
Way overconfident.
Yeah. This is one of his one of the other quotes. We make sure the neurological threshold is just as high as the mechanical threshold.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't just say, I'm going to go ahead and beef up.
Yeah. Right. I can't deal with them. We'll look the same next time you guys see Golf DMV.
That's right.
Man, yeah, do you guys have something else going on there, LB?
This is another quick story I found. There was a Texas golfer that was killed this past Monday doing a round at the Mountain Apple Golf Resort in Camino, California. When he lost control of his golf cart going over a bridge. I'm not laughing.
Oh, you are.
Yes, you are, actually. You are laughing.
He's going over a bridge.
Yeah. He lost control of his cart on the course, and he went off this bridge over the 10th hole and down into like a little ravine. Him and another guy.
The other guy's fine.
Well, he had some bumps and bruises, but this guy, he's 44 years old. So he dead.
Situational awareness.
Yeah.
Be careful in them carts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for ending the show.
Way to punctuate the show. Yeah, he dead
as a doorknob. but one thing the police said, He said, a golf course. I'm not laughing.
You're definitely laughing.
I know. I'm trying not to. But now that I'm starting, it's going to be hard to stop.
What did the police say? Golf cart's dangerous?
Yeah, golf carts. They don't have seatbelts.
For the most useless information, thank you. Yeah, right. Thank you, El Camino Police Department. Right.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah. Show up at the scene. Well, I mean, you know, golf carts don't have seatbelts. So.
They said they don't have seatbelts. And said, you know, people think that they say drinking and driving.
Right.
He said drinking and driving, that goes for golf carts. It goes for motor, for scooters.
Oh, yeah.
Not I wonder, just, him, not I wonder just if your he car. Probably was drinking.
Yeah, right? Yeah, they were going to do an investigation to see if he was
turning up, driving too fast.
Right. Yeah. But he said, this is what the cop said. Just know that DUI applies everywhere. Behind a scooter, electric golf cart, your own personal vehicle, on public roadways, or in a golf course.
I do wonder this, though. DUI. To do the investigation, yeah. I wonder why.
Why what?
They're going to do an investigation? Yeah. I guess probably to make sure there's no liability insurance. For the...
Okay, yep. On the golf course. Okay.
For the golf course and or the golf cart maker. Or did go like the golf cart didn't just all of a sudden just go haywire and go
basically just liability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
DUI.
Yeah,
okay.
But, but he's dead though. But I'm
dead under the influence. Yeah.
Right.
All right. Okay. We're done. I'm sorry. Because now LB's got me doing it.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to end on that. Oh, I will say one more thing real quick. I just want to thank all of you. If you happen to listen to WPFW today,
right.
When we were doing, today's the 10th, mm-hmm. October 10th, when we did the fundraiser, I appreciate you listening. Apparently you didn't give me any money, but still, if you listen, I still appreciate it. Next time, you can catch me next time on there, and next time you can make a donation. Tax deductible, but again, thank you for your support.
You sound like good on the radio, by the way.
Thank you. I get a practice.
Somebody
on the podcast.
Should put you on a Freddy Gap show.
There you go.
It's Golf DMV, folks. We'll catch up with you next week.
This is Golf DMV.